best anti-poverty program around is a world-class education.
The president and others asking the question that we're asking all week long, how do we find the best practices in education and figure out the strategies for making the proper investments to improve and upgrade American education? Yesterday, the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, was on the program talking about how urgent this is. Today, we're going to take a look at whether the investment needs to be in technology and what technology investments in the classroom are worthwhile and where can technology sometimes go wrong. Joining us now are Anya Kamenetz, staff writer for Fast Company magazine, friend of the program. Good morning again, Anya.
Good morning.
She's the author of DIYU, Edupunks, Edupreneurs, and the Coming Transformation of Higher Education. And Michael Geisen joins us. He was the 2008 Teacher of the Year for the United States, science teacher at Crook County Middle School in Prineville, Oregon. From Redmond, Oregon, he joins us. Thanks for getting up so early, Michael.
Oh, you bet. Good to hear you, John.
So my first question is to you, Michael. This morning, big story, of course, on the Super Collider, making important physics discoveries out there in Switzerland. How do you explain that to your class?
That's some complicated science, but you start with the basics. And we've actually spent a bit of time. We watched a bit of a TED Talks video from sort of rock star super scientist Brian Cox earlier this fall about how it works and just the wonder of it all and how it all works. And then, I think looking also at some of the controversy, of course, that a few people have about will this thing actually cause a giant black hole that will, suck in the Earth. But things like that get kids excited and get them curious about what's going on. It's great.
Well, hold on, Michael Geisen. We want to talk about how technology figures into a classroom discussion of science and really all subjects. We mentioned, Anya Kamenetz, the death of Jaime Escalante, who was the teacher behind Stand and Deliver, the famous movie about how kids in the inner city of Los Angeles could learn advanced mathematics. He didn't use a computer at all, as far as I can tell. Anya Kamenetz, where does technology go well and go maybe not so well in helping kids to get ahead?
Well, it's so interesting that Michael just brought up the TED Talks, because I think we can all agree, right, that technology is not going to replace the best type of teacher. But what technology can do, this generation of technology, is it can really complement the role of the teacher and free up the teacher, ideally, to do what they most need to be doing, which is working individually with students on problems that, they're specifically facing. So whether that means bringing content into the classroom, and the TED Talks is a great example of free and open video content, which has just exploded in the last 10 years, or whether you're using computers as tutors to help people with practice and where assessment can be automated. Those are the types of uses of technology where you're really complementing the role of a really good teacher.
Anya Kamenetz is a staff writer for Fast Company magazine. Michael Geisen, one of the reasons you're Teacher of the Year for 2008 is that you have a pretty interesting sense of high-tech versus low-tech and different ways of bringing kids into a sort of technological milieu to help in subjects that have maybe nothing to do with science. When have you used technology in maybe a sort of low-tech context to help kids understand critical thinking and move forward and become technologically savvy?
Well, it's interesting because the reality out there on the ground is that a lot of districts are struggling between deciding whether to purchase technology or keep teachers around. It's a pretty tight budget there in education right now, but you really have to do what you can with what you have, and I think what that shows to the students is that you're still a learner. When teachers really step out of their comfort zone and move beyond just the overhead or a whiteboard, it really shows students that you're still learning, and that learning is an ongoing process. And like today in class, we're going to be using some beans to show how bacteria reproduce. On the other hand, we'll try and step it up as well with a bit of technology, looking at how bacteria can reproduce by going online and doing some online research and and that kind of thing. So it's really kind of just doing what you can with what you have, but I think Anya's right. It really comes down to how effective is that individual teacher, and technology is just one piece of that.
You know, we asked all of our listeners yesterday what class they would include in a national curriculum if we could agree that at least reading and writing and arithmetic were the thing we would want as the core. And this is what one of our listeners said.
This is Jim from Detroit. I think a required class should be web and internet savviness. All business is going online. We should be teaching our kids how to get there.
Anya comments, he's raising the issue of a sort of overall technological literacy question. Is that something that is a part of technological investments, thinking strategically in education?
Well, I think what it provides us with is a really interesting opportunity because, the classrooms that I saw and the kids that I saw, not only in the U.S. but also in Mexico for my amazing story in Fast Company, what they're really saying is that the kids are the ones who are really taking the lead on this, and they are the ones who, you know, digital native is not just an expression. You have children as young as 6 years old who are grabbing onto smartphones, who are intuiting the way that the touchscreen works, and they're learning, and they're growing up in a world of ubiquitous technology. So, you know, what this idea of web literacy really allows us to do is it allows us to let the child take the lead in terms of allowing, getting comfortable with the technology because they really are the ones that can figure it out for themselves.
So give them phones, give them iPhone apps, and integrate that into the curriculum. Michael Geisen, that sounds like a bit of a rodeo ride. Can you stay ahead of that tsunami before we go?
No, I think Anya's right, though. It really comes down to the kids and get them excited about things, and then learning on their own. You can really extend the school day if you can get them excited about it and working on things at home and checking it out. But there is a huge divide between those who have and those who have not.
And that's certainly something that the federal government needs to address. Well, a lot of takeaways there, addressing the digital divide and extending the school day using technology.
Yeah,
that's a great
absolutely.
Idea. Michael Geisen, 2008 Teacher of the Year, science teacher at Crook County Middle School in Prineville, Oregon. Kids, if he's a little tired this morning, forgive him, all right? Anya Comet, staff writer for Fast Company Magazine and author of DIYU, EduPunks, Edupreneurs, and the Coming Transformation of Higher Education. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.